In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Realities. The realities of life. The ever-present elementary aspects of daily living. Realities. We have learned to live our lives based on certain realities. And these realities have had a great impact on how we view our existence. The realities of daily life. They have an impact because we face them constantly. The reality that we must work to earn a living. The reality that our bodies are prone to trauma, disease, sickness, pain. The reality that not everybody likes us. April 15th is a day fraught with realities. After all, Uncle Sam wants his dime today. And they say spring is just around the corner. But St. Paul, in our text and its illuminating context, speaks to us of another reality, a reality that transcends the superficial and cuts to the definitive core of who you are. You participated with Christ in his passion, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his ascension. You are baptized. And this is the reality of your life. In the waters of baptism, your vapid heart and your dead body were flooded with the blood of Christ. The blood of the Anointed One, blood which flowed directly from his pierced side on the cross. His blood was in that water. The blood which flowed from his side, which animated the incarnated Logos throughout his earthly sojourn, which coursed through the very veins of God, now animates you with his life. For you were baptized into his reality, his real passion. The beloved Son of the Father, cursed and hated by men, suffering in his body the lash of sin's torment, the thorny barbs of Satan's ridicule, the jagged wounds of righteous judgment inflaming his senses. You were baptized into his reality, his real death, expiring on the cross, having paid the full penalty for sins in his body. His body now limp, his members cold. You were baptized into his reality, his real burial, entombed in darkness, separated from the world, his grave a font from which life would come. You were baptized into his reality, his real resurrection. Truth has sprung from the earth. Christ has triumphed. He is living. Death is vanquished. You were baptized into his reality. His real ascension. His crucified flesh taken up in glory to the throne of God, where he rules at the right hand of his Father. This reality now envelops your life. You have been washed with the blood of the Lamb, and a new creation has emerged, a new humanity in the new Adam. And this new life is of a character that is not defined or limited by this world. For you've been delivered from the old eon and have entered into the kingdom of God's beloved Son, and the realities of his life obtain for us. His life is not some distant metaphysical notion that we are detached from in our own mundane existence. His redemptive activity is not cold in history and ours only by some spiritual reflection, no. Rather, the character of this reality pervades your being. It's the constant pattern in which you walk in this life. present with you no matter what situation you may find yourself in. When parents or loved ones face pain, anguish of death, and your heart is sick with grief. When you're bored out of your skull just doing the dishes, or when your life appears to be uncertain in its future and you begin to fear. In this life, which baptism has wrought, we not only look back on the events which purchased our salvation, we experience them directly in this present reality. And so too, as the baptized, do we look forward to the future consummation of this new life, when we will enjoy Christ's immediate presence in perpetuity. But even now, we palpably enjoy that future kingdom. For this reality in which we live is paramountly manifest in the divine service. This reality in which we live is made clear divinely in the Mass, where the King comes to us, and with him, the kingdom. Heaven rips the fabric of this world. The Holy Spirit comes to us, burning the filthy rags of our sins from our bodies by his purifying fire, and clothes us in the raiment of Christ here in this place. And after sailing the oceans of time in this ship, we re-enter the world, and Christ's life proceeds through us and our activities into the community at large as a witness to his resurrected reality. Now, this reality is at odds with the world. Everything about it is contrary to the way humans naturally think, to how we naturally perceive ourselves, time, and the cosmos. And the world, through unspiritual men, has formulated its own philosophy of the realities of this life. Now, this reality, or this false reality of theirs, is a sophisticated philosophy, and it's an appealing philosophy, commensurate with the wisdom of this age. And men are not bashful about proclaiming their particular spin on truth and its liberating power. These charlatans are constantly knocking on our door, hawking their lies. And guess what? We buy into it. We adopt their false notions, their worldly religion, into our lives, and we adopt it. We sell our own blessed reality for a cup of cold gruel. We put ourselves gleefully above our neighbors. We demand in our heart a subservient attitude from those who are around us. A powerful image and an appearance of success has become our idol, and we bow down to it. There's one thing that we have to consider. Are we going to take this reality of ours and get rid of it? Are we going to adopt the world's religion? Now, Paul's warning just prior to our text, he says, "Watch, lest anyone should take you captive through vain deceit, through the traditions that depend on the elements of this world and not on Christ." Now, this warning appears to be a moot warning. For all around us, we see churchmen who have adopted the world's religion. Not only have they taken it into their personal lives, but we, and don't think yourself exempt from this charge, for we all have not confessed our own blessed reality. We adopt the world's religion and bring it into the church. The false formulas for success of the world, we bring them into the substantive reality of God's sanctuary. And to us, I hear Jesus saying, could you men not watch with me 1 hour? But there is a diligent one. One who did not falter from his reality, but set his face toward Jerusalem and walked steadfastly toward the cross. And there Jesus hangs in triumph over Satan and the powers of darkness. His heel is bruised and the serpent's head is crushed. In abject humility, the glory of God is made manifest. He is faithful and he's redeemed us from the pit. His rich blood marks his coronation. His rich blood marks his victory over Satan and our release from death's oppression. Our sin is nailed to the cross. The Redeemer hath borne it and become sin. The curse of the law nailed to the cross. The Redeemer hath stood up under it and become a curse. In weakness, in the frailty of suffering, Christ's victory is complete. This is the reality of your life. And you, pastors, you, professors, who proclaim this reality, Christ leads us in triumphal procession. As you preach this reality, the sweet fragrance of Christ's life is set before the world, and people confront the living Savior, his reality, and they sing, holy, 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 Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of the majesty of thy glory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.